Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Everyone, welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I like watching scary movies, so I usually watch them so that you don't have to. But this week, a couple things are different.
Couple things.
The first thing being our dear sweet Henley is not here.
She's not here. Because
guess freaking what? She gave birth.
She gave birth. She finally did it.
Finally.
She fucking did it. She's a hero. She gave birth to the tiniest, cutest baby. So tiny. So cute.
Oh my God. He's so tiny and cute. That's exactly right.
So tiny, so cute. She's a full-blown mom. It's really wild.
Yeah, we're very happy for her and Tim, and everybody's healthy and doing well. And just, wow, birth is so crazy.
It's insane. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's the craziest thing that people act like is so normal. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, to make a human, yeah, I'm gonna give birth. And it's like, okay. I don't know about that.
Oh my God.
She freaking did it. The bravest of us all, to be completely honest.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
So we're missing her today, but she's home with baby, and we'll get her back when we get her back. And you know what? We can't wait. And we wish her the best. We know you all wish her the best.
We wish her the best. We wish her the best. Of course.
We absolutely wish her the best.
Only the best for our Henley.
Yeah.
What's up with you, Emily, in lieu of you didn't give birth?
I did not, thank God.
Neither did I.
It would have been such a shock to my week if that had been what had happened. Surprising in many ways. But what I did do, which I was really laughing, I did this like just before Henley gave birth, is I got a giant tattoo. I mean, it's not giant, but it's the biggest tattoo I've ever gotten.
The biggest you've gotten. Mm-hmm.
And it's
awesome.
Thank you. I fucking love it. But it took 4 hours, which I was not anticipating. And it hurt so bad. I have a bunch of tattoos, but they're all really small and like hardly hurt and took no time and healed like a breeze. Like all my tattoos were like fucking jokes compared to this.
Yeah.
And so this I really was like, oh, this is a tattoo. I understand. Yeah. This is what it's like. And so I'm glad I didn't anticipate that going in because I might not have done it. But once you're doing it, you're like, well, here I am. And I really love it, but it hurt so bad. And I was really laughing at myself texting you guys and texting Henley being like, oh, wow, my tattoo lasted 4 hours and hurt so bad. And then she's like about to go into labor. Pretty, pretty different stuff.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's pain hurts.
No matter
how long you're going through it.
Pain hurts.
You're allowed to feel pain.
Yes,
and
we all feel how we feel. Absolutely. pain hurts. We feel pain when painful things happen, and we live with it. And sometimes you get a baby out of it. Sometimes you get fucking cool art on your body. It's the coolest place if you are an LA local. Wow. You absolutely must go to Super Sweet Tattoos and Coffee. It's a coffee shop and a tattoo parlor, and it is beautiful, and it is women-owned and run, and most of the artists are women, and it just, like, is so wonderful. Erin, the owner who did my tattoo, is fucking incredible. It's just a beautiful space to be in. The people are lovely. Like, most tattoo parlors are just, like, so aggressively male.
Yeah.
Male and, like, men who are, like...
And, like, mean. They're
mean.
Like, fuck
and, like,
you. You want a tattoo? Fuck you.
Yeah, like, oh, I hope it's not like a pussy tattoo. Like, oh, sit here, have a flash. I have a bunch of flashes. They're all knives and fire. It's like, that's what tattoo parlors are like normally. And like women with big tits on the walls everywhere. And it's just so, and literally that's why this woman opened her shop. She was like, I hated working in tattoo shop. Like, I hated it. And they're like, she's also like, yeah, there's like a lot of sexual harassment. Like, it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So she made this incredible space, and the artists are all what she's like. This is the most incredible tattoo I've ever seen. Like, she just did what she wanted with it, and she made a painting on my body, and it is so cool. Anyway, I'm really jazzed on it, and I highly, highly recommend everyone going to this place.
The place looked really cool. I'll definitely go there when I think of whatever I want to get next.
Yeah, it's cool. So I was really joking. I could, like, you know how sometimes you can feel yourself like fixating on a thing, but and you know that you should stop, but you can't. Have you ever had that moment where you're like, I wish I would stop talking about this, but you like also won't?
Yeah. Yes.
That was me all week with my tattoo, because, like, you know, it was a big experience getting it, and then it hurt for a long time, and then it was like, because it's really like detailed and done over, so there was like, you know, like really scabbed up, and like I just never experienced that before, so like every minute of every day I was thinking about my tattoo. And I would, every time I was like around Joel, I'd be like, what do you think about this, is that like normal, like oh it kind of hurt, like, and I told, I was like, I promise you, like, in at some point in the near future, my whole identity will not be this tattoo. I like hear myself doing it, but I cannot not do it.
It's just taking up a lot of headspace at the moment.
Yeah, I think I'm coming around the bend on it. I'm gonna, you know, be a person who thinks about other things probably soon. But anyway, that's just been like all I've been dealing with this whole week.
It'll happen. You'll get used to it.
I'll get there.
It's like when we each separately dyed our own hair, or dyed our hair and thought we were wearing wigs. I feel like it's maybe the same thing. You're kind of just like adjusting to it. Of like this.
And then all of a sudden it's like, well, this is just me. Like, this is my hair. It's not a wig. This is my arm. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So we'll get there. But that's my whole situation.
That's pretty exciting. It's a great tattoo, and I'm very happy for you. And I'm fine with you talking about it as long as you need to.
Thank you so much. What is up with you, Sammy?
Well, I finished my job yesterday.
Yay!
That's a pretty big thing. It's been pretty tiring, and I'm very excited to have some time off to rest. Catch up on a lot of TV I missed.
Ooh.
I luckily had time to watch I Think You Should Leave season 2, which is fantastic. I absolutely love it. Big fan. But what I wanted to talk about is that I joined Reddit, which I'm dipping my toe in that. And you like join different groups or whatever. You like subscribe to different things. And I'm only subscribed to two.
I feel like it's so overwhelming.
It is overwhelming for sure. But so the two that I am subscribed to are Bo Burnham and Lexapro.
You know what? I bet there are a lot of common members of those two groups.
And actually, Lexapro is kind of how I started getting into Reddit. Is I found it really helpful of like the opposite of like WebMD of right. just reading real people's experiences with mm-hmm. antidepressants of various kinds. And like, is this normal? Is that normal? Obviously, also talk to your doctor. You do both. You don't you do go both. To Reddit for all of your medical advice. But I started using it for that. And since then, now if I'm ever looking something up, I'll usually also look that thing up plus Reddit. I'm like, okay, well, what does Reddit have to say? Like, I like that. I like it as well. And obviously, I'm very obsessed with Bo Burnham's Inside. And I've like since gone back and watched his other comedy as well. But there was one post about Bo Burnham that was just about the way he says room. Because he says, I'm in this room. He's in this room. He like basically sounds like he's almost saying rum. In this damn room. How long am I going to be in this room for? So if you go back and watch Inside again, notice how he says room. Because
room.
That's right.
Interesting. Imagine being a person who like there was a whole Reddit about you. That would really fuck with my brain.
It's wild. I mean, and there's tons of people in it and they have lots to say.
Of course they do. You'd have to just never look at it ever. Like you would just have to never look at it probably,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, I think being famous in general is really crazy, but seeing the like quantified amount of people commenting and writing about you is, yeah, very crazy.
And I feel like, I mean, it happened to us like with this latest special. He like gained a whole group of people who were like, oh,
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm he's just gotten this person.
Yeah, I mean, so, sorry, wow. sorry, you made something, a perfect work of art. And
you made true art that we really are obsessed with. Dang, it's so good.
It's so good.
You know what else is so good? It's not as good, I'm not going to lie, but it is so good also, I think, is the movie that we're doing this week, which I watched, can you believe it? Sammy was working so fucking hard. Henley is having a baby, so I... really did my part and I watched a movie. and that movie is Fright Night, Woo! The remake, the mm-hmm. 2011 version. There is a 1985 version, which I've never seen. Sorry. But the mm-hmm. 2011 version of Fright Night, it is directed by Craig Gillespie, written by Marty Noxon, and a story by Tom Holland from the original film Fright Night. Mm-hmm. It stars, get ready for this cast, you guys.
Oh, boy.
Anton Yelchin, oh. Colin Farrell,
Ooh.
Tony fucking Collette, David Tennant, and Imogen Poots, who would later be in Green Room mm-hmm. together, Anton Yelchin mm-hmm. and Imogen Poots. Oh, what is it rated? Hold on. Bear with me. It is 72% on Rotten Tomatoes. 64% on Metacritic and a 6.4 on IMDb, just right in the pocket, you know?
Yep, pretty standard stuff there.
Pretty standard stuff. The box, or the budget, I'm sorry, was $30 million, and the box office was $41 million. They made some more than they spent. They made some more than they spent.
Hey, I call that a success.
I would call it a success. I would be pleased with an $11 million gain, personally.
I hope it all went to Tony.
And it all went to Tony, as it should. She is great in it. The first, disclosure, I've seen this. This is my second viewing. I'd already seen it. But upon my first viewing, I was like, Tony is so vastly underutilized in this film, which is true. But in my second watch, I was like, no, she's pretty fucking great in it. Like, she's really very good in it. I mean, obviously. Everyone is so good in it. The cast is so great. Anton Yelchin, ugh, I love him in everything.
He's great.
He's so great. He's so dear. Colin Farrell, so fucking good in this. I love Colin Farrell.
I love him so much. And I have seen this movie as well, but I literally don't remember one single thing about it other than this cast.
Great. Well, I'm going to tell you about it, Sammy. You and everybody else.
Hello, everybody. It is cocktail hour. And this week we are drinking a cold-blooded. Vampires are cold-blooded. You get it. Pretty straightforward one. To make a cold-blooded, you will need 1.5 ounces of Grand Marnier, 2 ounces of cranberry juice, 1/2 ounce of lemon juice, and 1/2 ounce of 2-to-1 sugar syrup, and a fresh rosemary sprig. You will muddle the rosemary in the base of the shaker, add your other ingredients, shake with ice, and fine strain into a chilled old-fashioned glass, and garnish with a rosemary sprig. Cheers.
What kind of accent does Colin have in this movie?
American. So one of the trivias is that another person who's in it, but I didn't mention him because he's not in it as much, and also he's the only person who I don't like in it, is Christopher Mintz Plasse?
Yeah,
I don't know.
McLovin.
Look, I'm not into it. It was 2011. We were in a McLovin kind of moment. And
I would love to see him reinvent himself, like be in a different role for once.
I don't like him in this movie. Sorry, Christopher. I don't like you in this movie. And everybody else is just so good. Like, David Tennant is so
I fucking love David good. Tennant.
David Tennant
so
is
much.
So fucking great. Anyway, but so the trivia is that the only people who did not have to adopt American accents were Anton Yelchin and Christopher Mintz.
Imogen Poots is not American.
Imogen Poots is British.
I think she might be British. That seems right, but
I think she's British. Colin Farrell is obviously Irish.
Irish.
Fucking Tony's Australian,
like our friends at Spooko.
Sorry,
we're
guys.
Really knocking these out of the park.
Sorry,
one after
guys.
Another.
And David Tennant is Scottish.
He's Scottish, yeah. Which it's not my strongest accent. I'll be honest with you.
Scottish. I don't know.
Scotland. I can only do Sean Connery.
Very good. That's very good. So lots of. You know, none of them, they're all American, unfortunately, because I would love to hear all those accents. But boy, would it be a lot to explain. There's a lot of different accents to explain away. So some other trivia. Colin Farrell expressed concern that his character was too much of a sexual predator and suggested script changes. No changes were made. So, okay.
All right. He tried.
He tried. Colin, you tried.
He's like, all right, well, I guess I'll do it still.
Well, I'm still going to do the movie. Colin Farrell requested a monologue in Latin, saying it would be more menacing. He obtained a Latin tutor to teach him a new monologue and studied the language on set. The monologue never made it to screen. However, the Latin tutor was so fascinated by Farrell, she wrote a scholarly article detailing her time on set.
Wow.
Would love to read that.
Colin really article. Doing a lot on this film.
Really doing a lot.
For no reason.
For absolutely no reason.
None of it coming to fruition.
No. An interview, all of my trivia is about Colin Farrell, apparently, but
it's fine. Interested.
In an interview, Colin Farrell referred to this movie as the greatest success of his career.
Interesting.
Because it led to his mother meeting her second husband, the friend of a producer who met her on set.
Oh, that's very sweet.
That's really nice.
Something came to fruition.
Congrats to Mama Farrell. One more Colin Farrell trivia. Colin Farrell stated that the role of Jerry was particularly hard for him to play, one of the hardest of his career, because Jerry has no soul. So there weren't any aspects of humanity he could use to ground his performance. Only good at acting characters with a soul. Fuck, this guy
has
no soul.
Tough.
That's gonna be hard.
Tough.
That one's gonna be hard for me. He honestly is very good in it. And look, he is a bit of a sexual predator. He is menacing.
Well, that's kind of it's a vampire-y thing. I know that this is a vampire movie. Vampires are very sexual.
Extremely sexual. Well, they kiss
and they are
and bite
predators.
Your neck and drink your blood.
Yes.
Like, that is the point. Also, the whole deal with him in this movie is, like, he's so hot. Like, everyone's like, oh, my God, I feel like that's another thing about vampires is they're like, oh, my God, they're so beautiful.
Yeah. Yep.
People are like, every time somebody meets him in the movie, they're like, oh, whoa, he's so hot. And so they like have to entice you in that way because that's how they get
They gotta lure you in.
Mm-hmm. They gotta lure you in. And also, they're attracted to you by like scent. Like, vampires do a lot of smell. Like, it's how they are. Man, Colin Farrell's so hot. I love Colin Farrell.
I love him.
I just love him. I'm just looking at a picture of him from this movie, and he's really good in it. Tony's fucking great in it. Everybody's great in it. I already said that. It's not that scary. It is scary. The first time I saw it, there's like definitely some jump scares. It's kind of gross. Like some of the vampire stuff is kind of gnarly. Definitely is categorized as a scary movie. I think it's also funny. There's definitely comedy to it. And I don't know. I do think I've talked about how like a lot of times creature, would you call vampires a creature? I guess kind of. At least in this movie, it's a little like it's like pretty, you know, they're like super strong and whatever.
Yeah.
But they sometimes can feel like I've talked about before, bit action movie like, at least in like the final sequence. So I didn't find it too scary, but it's a good one, I would say. It's why I first watched it when I was like, I do want to like watch a scary movie, but I don't want to be so scared. It's a really good one for that.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see the original too. I think that it is good. Yeah, I think it's one that is good. People like it.
And I feel like it's rare for then the remake to like also be good. So
true.
You know, good for them.
Good for them. They did it.
Good for them. They did it. You did it. shall we watch the freaking trailer?
Let's watch the freaking trailer.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, just checking in. What you up to?
Adam Johnson.
Adam.
You know Adam's missing, right?
Right? Kids aren't coming to school. It happens all the time.
I don't know if you're paying attention to roll call, but he's not the only one that's gone.
You're nuts.
This is my son, Charlie, and his girlfriend.
Hi.
So Jerry is our new neighbor.
Hey.
Hey. Now listen to me. We graphed up all the disappearances. That's you right there in the center next to his house.
I really hate to be the one to tell you this, but that guy, your neighbor?
Jerry.
Yeah, he's a vampire.
That is a terrible vampire name. Jerry?
I've been watching you.
Your mom, well, there's a kind of neglect, gives off a scent. And your girl, she's ripe. It's on you to look out for them, because there are a lot of bad people out there, Charlie.
What's that?
I'm gonna end him or he's gonna end me. That's how it's gonna be.
Charlie's gonna find me.
I'm counting on it. You smell that? It's your fear.
Sit here!
Did I kill him?
Hopefully.
Was he hiding on the roof of a dance club? The ceiling of a dance club?
Yeah, baby.
Very inconspicuous.
Yeah. This movie is really fun. I'm excited.
It looks fun. It looks very silly. And so I feel like...
What's interesting is like, it is, but it's also not. Like, there are moments that are meant to actually be fucking scary and creepy. Like, he is really creepy.
Yeah, he seems creepy.
It's just, there's also...
But yeah, I mean, describing the way women smell as ripe.
Ugh. Oh, that part is that, so
I did not
gross.
Like that. I
he
did
is
not
a
like
sexual
that.
Predator.
He's a sexual
sure.
predator. Yeah. And also just a predator.
A predator, sexual predator. Which one cannot deny. The man is hot.
Yeah, the man is hot.
The man is hot. The guy is hot. well, shall we just get right into it?
Let's
so
get
I can
into
talk
it.
More
yeah,
about how
I gotta,
the man is hot as we go through.
I gotta know everything that happens in this movie.
We start off. We're looking at a very suburban cul-de-sac. Very, yep. like, cookie-cutter houses. They all look the same. What do you call that?
Tract housing.
It's like, and then I think at one point we zoom out and we see it's literally, like, in the middle of the desert, and it's just, like, a neighborhood in the middle of nothingness.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just, like, built it up.
Right. It showed that, like, an overhead shot in the trailer where there's, like, literally nothing around them.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, how you see sometimes when you're, like, driving up the 5 where there's, like, nothing right. and then it's being, like, move in here.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, like, a new place that they're building.
A new place. Inside one of the houses we see.
That's scary on its own. I'm already scared.
It's scary on its own.
I don't want to live far away from everybody else.
Oh, it's so weird.
But in a
it's
place like, that presents itself as, like, a community.
Yes, absolutely. So we go into a house. All these houses look exactly the same on the inside, same layout, same on the outside. But we come in and we see on the TV a commercial is playing for a Peter Vincent's Vegas show. Peter Vincent, this is David Tennant, and his vibe is like David Blaine or like, no, he's like Chris Angel. Like, it's like, black hair, leather pants, magic, but he's also kind of dark.
That's it's perfect like that, for
that
David
font,
Tennant.
Like Peter Vincent. Yeah, it's great. And as we're pulling back, seeing the rest of the house, it's empty, dark. We see that as we're pulling away, a news story about like the woman says in a grocery store parking lot that she was almost bitten by a man. It's like, okay, well, that's not good. We see a dog looking into an ajar bedroom door. It's very quiet and calm, and all of a sudden, teen runs out of the room, like scrambling out, looking panicked. Inside the room, we see there is a bloody body on the ground. He runs into a bedroom we see on the bed. We follow him on top of the bed, dead mom, very, very bloody on the ground, dead dad, very, very bloody. The kid is freaking out. He manages to like get under the bed and he is trying to hide and he's breathing like trying to quiet himself. He reaches his hand under the mattress where he finds a handgun and he like pulls it and like very quietly is trying to load this handgun. We see as we're looking at him and as he's loading the gun next to him on the ground, the dad's body get pulled out of frame, but he doesn't notice. And then we see the whole bed gets lifted up off of him. He screams, text Fright Night. And then we go back into this. We're outside of Las Vegas. So we go back into this development and we're seeing all these shots of like, you know, kids playing in the sprinklers on their lawn, people bringing groceries in from their car, just like very nice suburban life in this quiet little neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Anton Yelchin, we see his character's name is Charlie. He's got a pretty old little like motorcycle that he is walking up to his house. It like isn't really working. It broke down. So he's like walking it back to his house. He walks past his very hot neighbor. Her name is Doris. She's a hot young blonde. And he's like clearly like she's older than him. And she's like, man, you're really growing up. And he's just like, oh. He gets as he's walking up to his house, he sees his mom, Toni Collette. Who I'm only going to call Toni Collette because why would I call her anything else?
Yep.
She like makes fun of him like, oh, you really shouldn't gawk at the neighbors. And then
she might be eating those words later.
She might be eating those words. she looks over to their neighbor's house. They, you know, they have fun rapport. It's just the two of them. You can tell him and his mom. Mm-hmm. She looks over at the neighbor's house. Someone just moved in and they have like one of those big like concrete dumpsters in his front yard. And she's like annoyed about it. And it's like, oh, it's like such an eyesore. I'm trying to get people to move into this neighborhood. She's a real estate agent for this particular development.
Okay.
We see she's got some like, you know, Coldwell Banker wooden signs in her back of her trunk. She makes a comment about like, you know, your dad called. I can't keep making excuses for you. You know, if you don't want to talk to him, just tell him. And he's like, well, that would be the whole purpose of not answering, wouldn't it? So just mom and son here. His girlfriend, Amy, then that's Imogen Poots. She comes to pick him up for school. And they get to school and she's a popular girl and he's a bit of a nerd. So her friends are all the popular kids, including Dave Franco, a young Dave Franco.
Oh, okay.
Because he can't not play a douchebag. And they're clearly like annoyed that she's dating this nerd. He then asks Amy if she wants to go to prom with him. And she's like, oh, like, nobody goes senior year. Like, seniors don't go to prom. It's, like, so sweet and so cute, but, like, no. she clearly really likes him, but he's just, like, he doesn't get it. You know, he's a bit of a novice to this popular
group. He's a dweeb,
even though he's so, such a cutie.
I went to prom.
I went to prom senior year. Was I cool? I don't know either.
For me.
I don't know. So they're in homeroom then, and teacher's doing roll call. She calls for Adam. No answer. Keeps going. After class, Ed comes up to Charlie. This is Christopher Mintz-Plasse. he is a huge dork, bigger than even Charlie.
Bigger than,
And wow. So, if you can believe it. He comes up to me, he's like, hey, Adam is missing. Like, aren't you concerned? Charlie clearly doesn't really want to be talking to him. Is like, yeah, kids are missing from school. Like, who cares?
So they're like missing. Like, their families don't know where they are.
Well, that's what Ed thinks.
Okay. Because it's like kids are absent.
What Charlie says. He's like, kids, it's not that big of a deal. And he's like, no, I've been like trying to call him. He's not answering. Like, I think he's really missing. The popular guys are like making fun of Ed and Charlie, being like, Charlie, why are you talking to that dork? And we learn that they used to be best friends, but then Charlie became too cool Ed. Ed is immediately like, again, I told you I don't like him in this movie. He's just like an asshole. Mm-hmm. Like, I get, like, he's just very immediate, like, well, you used to be my friend, so you better come look for Adam with me, or I'm gonna release. He's like, I'm gonna show all your popular friends a video of us playing, like, you know, role-playing games or whatever if you don't
LARPing,
that thing, yes, that's called. If you don't, like, come and look for Adam with me. Like, after school, come look for him with me. And he's like, okay, fucking fine, I will.
Do you think high schools are still like this? I know we talk a lot about Gen Z because they're mysterious, but
yeah, I feel like no.
I feel like this meanness has at least decreased, because it certainly was this way when I was in high school.
Yeah, you know, I bet it's harder for high schools to be this way because everyone is constantly showing everything they're doing online.
Right.
Right? Like, if there were videos of you doing, like, LARPing with your friends, you're probably already posting it, so everyone's already seen. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like people are just like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what they're... There's still got to be some, because it's still...
I think social media has just taken over every negative thing. Like,
maybe
I feel like...
mean on social media.
All negativity happens online.
That's probably true. Because the thing is, like, teens are mean to each other because they're, like, evolving and their stupid brains don't understand how to, like, be in relationship with people, and they're trying to figure out, like, what boundaries are. So they're definitely still doing that. Like, even though I do think Gen Z is probably more self-aware and has better tools to handle things than we did.
Yeah.
Just like we did better than our, you know, parents' generation. They're still teens. Teens are stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Let's talk to some teens. Hey, I would love to know. But these teens, they're still doing it for sure.
Yep. Yep.
So, at the end of the school day, Amy drops Charlie off at home. They walk up the driveway and they see their mom, Tony, Charlie's mom, flirting with this new neighbor. He's helping her with some gardening or something in the front lawn. He's bent down. He's in a dirty white t-shirt. His name is Jerry. This is Colin Farrell. He's very hot. We're like lighting him he's meant to be very hot in this moment. He like stands up and like wipes his face.
It's like a Dan Stevens in The Guest situation of like,
A little bit of like a more rugged version of that. Yeah. So we're introduced to Jerry. Tony's very into him and is like, oh, and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry about the dumpster. I'll move it tomorrow. She's like, oh, it's totally fine. I like don't even care. We clock Jerry like eyeing Amy, Charlie's girlfriend, like looking her up and down pretty
nastily.
Pretty inappropriately, I would say. Because I guess we're led to believe they're 18, they're seniors, but it's still like, that's young.
Yeah.
But nobody else really clocks it. But we're a thing I like about this movie is how immediately it's like, no, yeah, he's bad. Like, everyone else doesn't necessarily catch on so quickly, but they're not pulling any punches with the viewer. They're like, yeah, no, this guy is creepy and bad. And like, you should feel like he's bad. which right. I like. Don't toss me around. Don't mess me around.
Don't just mess me around.
Stuff. Just give me the stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm always saying that. meanwhile, we see that Ed is waiting at Adam's for Charlie, and he's like getting pissed off. He texts this LARPing video to Charlie, and he's like, you better fucking come or all your friends are going to see this video.
And then it's going to be over for you.
And then it's going to be over for you. Your girlfriend's going to dump you. So Charlie quickly is like, oh, shit, I have to go. He leaves Amy at his house with his mom. When he like starts running down the street, I guess his Adam is his like walking distance.
I mean, the whole place looks like walking distance.
Yeah, I think there's like this little weird like suburban outside of Vegas situation where there's like nowhere else to go.
Vegas, on the other hand, almost nothing is walking distance.
Almost nothing.
I guess you walk down the strip, but it feels like 1,000 miles long.
Vegas is huge. Let's go.
I do want to go.
As he leaves, though, we clock also Jerry is like watching him leave a little ominously.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlie gets to Adam's house where Ed is meeting him, and they immediately like knock on the door. Nobody answers, so they break in. There's nobody there. They're looking around, poking around the house. Ed has a duffel bag full of crosses and is like holding crosses up as he's like walking through the house, and he's explaining to Charlie.
I like in movies when they're like aware of the lore of whatever the thing that they think is. Like, it's not like a mystery of like, what could this possibly be? It's like, oh, we think it's a vampire, and we know through all the media we've consumed exactly what that means.
I completely agree. I love it.
Yes.
And he pretty quickly is like, he's like, hey, so your neighbor, Jerry, he's a vampire. And that's when Charlie's like, Jerry? Like, what kind of fucking vampire name is Jerry? He like doesn't take him seriously at all. And Ed's like, oh, I know, it's really funny, but like, I'm fucking telling you, people have been disappearing all over town. Me and Adam were researching and we were like following him. He's like, pulls out a map. He's like, all the attacks happened all around here, the center of the attacks. I love when it always works out that way. It's like the dude has to do like a perfect radius around his home. Like, that's how all predators attack. I mean, I guess maybe it is, but it's very, I have so many movies where it's like, oh, the center point must be where the person lives. Or it's like, hey, a really easy way to throw everybody off would be to like make the center of your attack circle not your house.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's like, it's, you know, the center is right here, and that's right next to your house. All of his windows are boarded up. And Charlie's like, a lot of people like sleep during the day and are up at night. They work on the strip. Like, that's not that weird. And he's like, well, all these people have gone missing. And Charlie's like, again, like, nobody stays in Vegas long term. It's a really transient population. Like, he has an explanation for everything right. as to why he's probably not a vampire. I mean, I guess you would.
I think you would, yeah. I don't think you'd, I think you would do as much as you could to not acknowledge the existence of the supernatural.
Yeah, I think that you probably would, especially to like your weird friend who's being weird.
He's blackmailing you with a LARPing video.
As they're looking through the house and, you know, Ed is explaining this to Charlie, we see the shadow of somebody, a man downstairs, past like the downstairs window. But Ed explains to Charlie the lore of vampires. He's like, okay, well, no matter what, like, you don't invite him into your house, which is the thing about vampires I fucking love. Like, mm-hmm. he can't come in unless you invite him in. So never invite him in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, or Charlie's like, how the fuck do you like know all this shit about vampires? And he's like, I've been researching Peter Vincent, who is the Chris Angel guy we saw at the beginning. And Charlie's like, the fucking Vegas performer guy? And he's like, yeah, he's like the vampire expert. His whole deal is vampires. And like, he's got a lot of information up. And I know this sounds fucking crazy, but that's the deal. And then Ed gets really upset and he's like, man, we used to be fucking best friends. Like, you were Adam's friend. You don't care that he's fucking missing. Like, there's nobody in his house. It's like, clearly he's fucking missing. And they get in a fight and Ed says something mean about Amy, Charlie's girlfriend, like calls her, I don't know, slutty or something stupid. And Ed gets really mad and he's like, you know, when my life started getting a lot better is when I stopped being friends with you.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Did Ed ever think about calling the police or anything? Like reporting a missing person? Or is he just like, I gotta take it into my hands and hunt this vampire man? Seems like he's missing a step in the middle of there.
He might be missing a step, but we gather from this conversation that Ed and Adam have been watching. Ed is 100% certain that Jerry is a vampire. It's not a theory. He's like, he's a vampire.
This is the
I
facts.
Know that he
These
is.
These are the facts.
He attacked Adam because we were onto him. Like, that is the deal. So I think he's sort of like, what would you do? Call the police and be like, there's a vampire? I don't know. I think he is missing a step, but in his mind, he's like, this is fact. Like, we need to fucking deal with this vampire.
I think you don't, I mean, you don't call the police and say there's a vampire. You say my friend is missing, you know? I think that's
yeah, a
normal
I think
thing.
That you do that. But he doesn't. He doesn't. But so they got this big fight. Ed is skateboarding home, crying. He's sad about this fight. We see all of a sudden someone pushes him off his skateboard. But it's just Dave Franco, fucking popular douchebag. And he's like making fun of him. And Ed's like, you know what, man? Just fucking hit me. Like, let's just get it over. Just fucking hit me. And so Dave Franco goes to hit him. And he like ducks and Dave Franco gets really pissed. He's like, oh, you fucking nerd. So Ed starts running away from him and like jumping over fences into like various backyards to get away from him. He does manage to get away, but he jumps into the backyard of an unoccupied house. No one has purchased it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees, he gets into the yard and is face to face with Jerry. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Uh-oh.
So he grabs a rock off the ground, smashes the back sliding glass door with it, and goes into the house and is like, whew. And he's like laughing, he's staring at Jerry and he's like, haha, motherfucker, you can't come in here. I don't invite you in here. Like, what you gonna do now?
Gotcha, bitch.
And Jerry smiles, looks around, and then just walks in and goes, unoccupied.
Yeah, it's not your house, my
friend.
It's
not your house, so I can come in here. It's nobody's house. So he starts it's like trying to run away from him. And meanwhile, Jerry is monologuing like, you've been watching me, Ed. Well, I've been watching you too. Should have just fucking minded your own business. And Ed is like freaking out and trying to escape. He goes upstairs. He manages to get through a second story window, jump out down to the pool. And he like hurts his ankle and turns around. Jerry's just fucking chilling in a pool chair. He's like, ooh, that looks like it hurt. Clearly we're getting the sense that he is super fast. Rules of normal behavior don't apply to him. He can be wherever he wants to be. So Ed jumps in the pool to try to, I don't know, be safe via water. But he holds up a cross. He has his crosses with him, so he holds up a fucking cross.
Okay, so he's, like, making some holy water.
And he's like, get away from me. Like, power, I have the power of Christ. And Jerry gets in the pool and like, walks up to him and is like, you have to really believe, Ed. And then he's like, Ed, you say that you're glad that you're different. But, like, you were born for this, and you know it. Like, this is being different. Like, you're gonna love it. Basically trying to convince him to get to be turned. Ed doesn't want to at first, but then his resolve, so he's very scared, but his resolve sort of fades and Jerry bites him on the neck. We don't see it happen. We like see a shot from under the water of just like blood coming out. Next day, Charlie is watching that LARPing video that Ed had texted to him, being a little nostalgic for who used to be his friend. But then he cut to him being in homeroom and roll call is happening. And now, wouldn't you know it, Ed is also not there. So Charlie goes to his house, decides to see if he's there. His parents answer. His mom is Lisa Loeb, which I was like, the fuck? We're just gonna act like that's like that is just like not a okay. And they're like, oh, Charlie also get to see, like, clearly someone they used to know very well but haven't seen in a while. They're very happy he's back over. He's like, oh, is Ed home now? Oh, Ed leaves really early for school, he's not here. So Charlie asks, playing it cool, he's like, oh, do you mind? I think I need to check his room for something. And they're like, yeah, kind of going up. So he goes into Ed's bedroom. Sees he's got like vampire paraphernalia everywhere. Notes about vampires. The Peter Vincent website is up on his computer. Charlie kind of chuckles at this, but sees then on Ed's desktop a folder on his computer called the Jerry Diaries. So he opens it and we see it's a bunch of videos taken at night, clearly by Ed and Adam outside of Jerry's house, like filming, and he sees a video of Jerry's car pulling up, the car turning off, door opening, Jerry walking into the house, like door shutting, only you don't see anyone on film. You just see the car being driven up, seemingly by nobody, the door opening, seemingly by nothing. And so, you know, he's freaked out. He's like, oh, fuck, that seems vampire-like. So he's getting on board now. He's like, oh, shit. Okay. Ed's now missing.
The evidence is pretty compelling. Sure.
So he gets home that night after school. And Jerry comes up to him pretty quickly and is like, hey, guy. He always calls him guy, which is like, I don't know, just fucking creepy. Hey, guy, I got a girl coming over for a date tonight and I'm all out of beer. Do you mind? Could you spot me a sixer? And Charlie is so not playing it off at all. Clearly, he's like, yeah, totally. Like, so freaked out by him. And so he goes to the kitchen. There's like a, you know, a door from the outside right to the kitchen. And he opens it and goes in and goes to the fridge and is like shaking, like trying to put beers in a six pack to give him. And Jerry stands just outside the kitchen door. We see him like walk up to it and then be like not able to come in. Mm-hmm. And Charlie also clocks this. You know, also Jerry's like, can tell. Jerry's like, oh, fuck. Okay, so now he knows I'm a vampire. And Jerry's like, though, this girl tonight, you know, she's a handful. They're women who look a certain way, you know. They need to be managed.
Oh, boy.
Your dad ducked out on you. Your mom didn't exactly say, but there's a kind of neglect. It leaves a scent. Your girl, Amy, she's ripe.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Your mom, too. It's on you to look out for them. Are you up for that, guy? Because there's a lot of bad people out there. A man's got to look out for his own business. So he's clearly like kind of threatening him, just being like, bitch, stay out of my way.
Yep.
At one point, when Charlie's trying to put together a six pack, he drops one and breaks it. And yeah, Mabel, get the fucking fly. Do your job. It flew over there now, bitch.
She is not interested at all.
She was interested and then it flew away and she's like, okay. So he breaks a beer and Jerry's like, do you need help with that? He's like, no, don't, I got it. Like, doesn't.
Stay there.
Stay there. And then he does a thing where he goes to hand him the six pack over the threshold of the door and holds it just close enough that he would have to reach in to grab it. And he like doesn't. He can't. He's clearly testing him.
Yeah.
And then puts it over the threshold of the door. Jerry grabs it and is like, thanks. I don't know what he says, but Charlie's fucking freaked out.
Yep.
He goes up to his room where Amy is up there waiting for him, like reading a book. He's clearly really flustered. And she starts trying to come on to him. And we get the impression that they maybe haven't had sex yet, but she wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just like not in a headspace, very fair, but she's really offended. She's like, what the fuck is like, what is going, like, don't you want this, like, what's going on,
right?
Like at one point she does like get on top of him and start making out, and then we hear the doorbell ring at Jerry's and he like gets up and he's like, oh, and he like runs to the window to look out. She's like, what the fuck, like, and she gets really upset and offended and she leaves. We see he's looking out the window at Jerry's house and we see that it is Doris, the hot neighbor, who is coming over for a date with Jerry.
Oh, boy. Doris.
Doris. I hate to see it. Charlie falls asleep in the chair by the window, wakes up in the middle of the night to the sound of Doris screaming, and he does call 911.
Good.
And stands by the window waiting to see if they show up. But we see then the cops standing outside of Jerry's door talking, laughing. He's like palled around with them. So that didn't fucking work.
He's too charming.
Too charming. As Charlie's watching from the window, though, he sees Jerry get in his truck. After the cops leave, Jerry gets in his truck and drives away. So Charlie's like, fuck, I need to go in and see what's going on. So he breaks into Jerry's house. This is like some point in the middle of the night, if not like almost morning.
Mm-hmm.
I
just don't think that I would do that.
I absolutely would not. No.
Personally.
I 100% wouldn't. But he does. Mm-hmm. And it's very tense. He's like walking through the house trying to just see what's up. He finds a office room that is pretty clearly the office of a vampire. It has a bunch of old furniture and like, you know, very old fashioned looking
quills.
Instruments, mm-hmm, like an old desk and a big weird tapestry on the wall with some image on it. He takes a picture with it of it on his phone, turns around, there's a closet behind him, he opens a closet and there are like all these various different like police jackets, like of different police departments and stuff. So, you know, that's probably a way that he gets some victims. He hears Jerry's car coming back into the driveway. So yeah. he hides in the closet.
Gonna come home.
Yeah, he's gonna come home. He hides in the closet, and as he's hiding in the closet, he discovers the closet has a back trap door. So
is this
he opens that trap door.
Is this his coffin, his sleeping spot?
It's not his sleeping coffin, no.
Because then he'd be really fucked.
A hallway of rooms, a secret little hallway, creepy white sterile hallway of rooms.
Mm.
And Charlie walks down that hallway, looks into the peephole of one of those doors and sees Doris there, totally freaked out. And he's like, Doris, I'm going to get you out. And she's like, Charlie, help. Oh my God. And he goes to try to start picking the lock and hears Jerry coming. So he goes into another one of those hallway rooms, which is empty, crouches down. Jerry walks in. Jerry goes right to Doris's room, unlocks it, pulls her out, and is like, pulls her down, like leans her over his knee. It's like kind of sexual, but she's very freaked out. And we see him like open his mouth and two little fangs come out and he bites her neck and she's bleeding a lot. Mm. And she's very like limply hanging over his leg while he's doing this. She turns and is able to lock eyes with Charlie and sees him seeing this. And she does a very feeble, scared, sad little like shush mouth to Charlie. Jerry then, you know, wipes his mouth, leaves her alive, just takes a little bit of blood, snack, but doesn't kill her, puts her back in the room, locks the door.
I feel like I'd be stressed about my scent after all that talk of how he can smell things. Like, I feel like, wouldn't he smell Charlie?
You would think, yeah. Charlie's not thinking that way.
No, I guess not.
We see Jerry goes to leave that hallway of rooms. He does turn around and look like he thinks there might be something else there, but keeps going, leaves that zone.
Probably nothing.
It's probably nothing. Charlie then does manage to go. He goes back to Doris's room, unlocks it, grabs her out, and is like, shh, come on, we're going to get out of here. So they try to escape and leave Jerry's house together. But Jerry is like downstairs. He's watching TV. It's very tense. They're like trying to hide to be very quiet and sneak out past him. There's one moment where he gets up and starts coming towards them and they're crouched down and they think that he is coming for them. And then he gets an apple off of the counter and eats the apple. I think it's interesting that in this movie, he like drinks beer and eats apples.
I was going to say,
he can eat food.
This is, yeah, unlike traditional vampire. Vampires cannot have anything except for blood and they'll get very sick.
Collins,
oh my God, that episode
don't
of
eat
what
we
do
in
the
shadows.
They all get so violently ill from what do they eat, pizza or something?
Pizza.
And also I would feel like he should have like very, very good hearing, and so I feel like he would hear them.
Yeah,
and
these
smell
are
them.
All things his sense. His five senses are very strong, I would think.
Right.
But they manage, they manage to get out. We see at one point they're like crouched down and we see the reflection of in a mirror shot of the fridge of Jerry, like getting something out of the fridge. Only once again, we just see the fridge door open and shut and we like hear all the stuff. So yeah, like 100% a vampire. I mean, at this point, fucking. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they manage to get outside. And we see, so at, Jerry goes and gets an apple and then goes back and sits down. And as he sits down with the apple, he smiles. And so at this point, we're like, oh,
okay,
he fucking knows. Okay. Like, yeah, he knows that they're there.
Yeah.
He just is letting them
that's
get away.
That was my question. It was seeming like a 100%. pretty inefficient vampire, I feel like, going against all the normal rules.
And but that's knows. What he, when he goes to get that apple, he's like fucking with them. Like, he's just like having fun fucking with them. Because he's so much stronger and smarter than a teenager. He's a fucking vampire.
Right.
But they manage to get outside. And daylight has broken. It is daytime now.
Okay.
And the second they step out the door, Doris explodes.
Oh,
fucking dies.
No. That was his freaking plan all along.
That was his, she's already been bit, so she's fucking done. And then we see inside Jerry standing behind the door laughing. He's like, thinks it's very funny that this just happened to
them.
Oh
my God, it is a little bit funny.
It's a little bit funny. Especially if you're Jerry. If you're Jerry, this is so funny. The man has been alive forever. Let him have some fun.
He's having some fun. He's having a little
bit
of fun.
He's having some fun. Poor Charlie is fucked up over all of this that has just happened.
He just saw a woman explode.
He saw a woman get bit by a vampire and then explode.
It's not funny for him, for sure.
It's not funny for him. It's the least funny thing that's ever happened to him.
Yeah.
The next day, his mom comes into his room and he's just like, has clearly not slept at all. And it's just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And he's like, Mom, under no circumstances are you to invite Jerry into our house. Like, don't invite him in. Don't talk to him. Don't look at him. But like, don't ever invite him in. You can't invite him in. And she's like, she thinks that it's because she's a single mom. She's like, I can look, like, don't worry. I can look out for myself. And he's like, no, Mom, I'm fucking serious. Like, just please, please don't invite him in. Do not invite him in. He goes to school. He's researching Peter Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
Amy comes to try to be like, what's going on with you? Like, last night was weird. He blows her off. She's pissed. Walks away. And he goes, Charlie then goes into Vegas to see Peter Vincent.
Okay.
He steals. We see him take, like, a badge off of somebody at the casino who's, like, you know, on his jacket. He takes it. So it's, like, a little press badge.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes into the Peter Vincent rehearsal. We see, like, the part of the show is, like, all smoke. And he's got this, like, black hair and leather clothes. And the lady's, like, being,
long hair?
Like, pulled up. Oh, long hair. Yeah.
Okay. Just want to visualize.
Yeah. Long, greasy, black eyeliner, the whole deal, black nails.
Perfect.
And a goatee. And then, you know, he very quickly is like, oh, fuck, no, stop the shows. This is bullshit. That's not working. That's supposed to be fire. And it's just like clearly like fucking very hokey and silly.
I want to go to one of those shows really badly. Let's do that. I want to see Chris Angel. Or
let's go see Chris Angel. Mind Freak.
Yeah, Mind Freak. Oh, yeah. I want to do that.
But Peter Vincent's like going back up to his room. So Charlie comes up to him and is like, hey, could I get an interview? I'm here with the, you know, Vegas sun or whatever.
Mm-hmm. The scorching hot Vegas sun.
The scorching hot Vegas sun. And Peter Vincent's like, what is this, your first job? Like, and he's like, yeah, can please get an interview? And he's like, yeah, you get 10 minutes, come up to my room. And so,
and this like, Ginger, this is daytime, right? Like, we're not suspecting that Peter Vincent is also a vampire.
No, this is daytime. Okay, this is daytime. Yeah, no, Peter Vincent does not seem like a vampire.
He just seems like a magician, a different type of
just like a Vegas showman guy.
Okay.
But yeah, so he's like Ginger, who's one of the women in the show, like, who I learned her name is Sandra Vergara, the actress. She's Sofia Vergara's cousin and adopted sister.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway, he's like, Ginger, bring him up in 10 minutes. So they go up to his big Vegas suite and Ginger like takes him through and gives him a little bit of tour. We see in Peter Vincent's suite, it's like, first of all, it's massive, but there are like all of these cases of various like vampire paraphernalia. Like there's like weapons to kill them with, a goblet full of some vampire killing liquids, old texts and stuff. Like the dude is like, has vampire shit everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, he's collected it over his whole life. And it's like showing him. Their rapport is very funny. They're clearly a couple, but they like constantly yell at each other. I don't know. It's just fun. But she brings him into Peter's office where he's pouring himself a glass of just absinthe. And he's like, all right, you got 10 minutes. Like, ask me your questions. And as Charlie starts asking questions, he takes off his wig. So that's not his real hair.
Okay.
Then he, as they're talking, pulls off his little mustache, his sideburns, puts some alcohol on a washcloth, wipes the like tattoos off of his neck. Like, he is just looks like basically a normal guy.
That's very funny.
But he is wearing these very, very funny, very tight, very low cut leather pants, like pleather pants. Yeah. And his hips, the way he walks in this movie is so fucking funny. His hips sway harder than I have ever seen. And it's just great. You gotta see his performance in this movie. It's very fun.
I have. I just don't.
You have.
That's the craziest
it's
part.
Good.
And I don't remember it.
Well, so it's very good.
I'm going to have to watch it again.
By the way, $3.99 on Amazon Prime. Okay, that's where great, I watched great, it. Great. It used to be on Netflix. It is no longer. But Charlie's basically like, so how do you kill a vampire? And Peter's like, I don't know, fucking stake through the heart, some sort of poison, specific kind of poison liquid. Like, I don't fucking, why should I know how you kill a vampire? And Charlie's like, you're the vampire guy. Like, you're the guy. And he's like, I do a show. Like, it's not, don't come to me for advice. I don't fucking know. And so then Charlie starts to get a little panicked and takes out all these pictures he has of proof of Jerry, mm-hmm. and starts showing them to Peter Vincent. And he's like, look, my neighbor's a vampire. I think he got my friend. He's on to me. I like fucking need to figure out how to kill this vampire. And Peter's like, get the fuck out. Like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, no, Ginger, get him out of here. Like, get fucking leave. Like, thinks he's messing with him, but also is clearly getting really pissed off. Like, he's, like, pretty quickly, like, I don't want to hear about your vampire. Like, no, get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
So, Charlie goes back home that night, and he starts putting crosses up in every square inch of every single window. Why not? Of his home. We see the two, there's Dave Franco and another popular guy. Are like in their car across the street. They see him doing this. We're like, what the fuck is up with like dork guy with these fucking crosses? And then we see they're like smoking weed in the car, I think. And we see a like tap 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 on their window with a very long nasty fingernail.
Uh-oh.
And they're like, oh fuck, put away the weed, put away the weed. And Dave Franco rolls in the window. He's like, fucking what's up? And Colin Farrell just like leans his head in. And then via the other popular guys in the pastor's perspective, we just see blood spatter on him. He screams and we see him grabbed. So they are out of here. We see Charlie inside the house just freaking out. Tony Collette's like, what's up with the decor? And he's like, oh, it's a joke about something between me and Amy. And she's like, okay. The doorbell rings and it's Amy. It's false alarm. It's not Jerry. It's Amy. And she's fucking pissed. And she comes in and she's like, hey, what's going on with you? Yeah. Like, I don't know what your deal is, but you don't get to blow me off because you mean something to me. And even if you don't want to be with me anymore, like, you don't just get to fucking start being weird and blow me off. And we see Toni Collette, like, listening to this from the stairwell and is like, I like her. Like, she's, like, approving of this girl's chutzpah. And just, so Charlie then tells her, he's like, you need to stop spending time with me. You need to leave me. Like, if you stay with me, you're going to get hurt. She's like, how the fuck would I, what are you talking about? I'll get hurt. Then there is a knock at the door, and this time it is Jerry, and he's like, Jane, that's Toni Collette's character's name, but it's Toni Collette. He's like, Jane, I need to talk to you, and Charlie's like, don't let him in, do not let him in, and Jane's like, what the hell? And he's like, Jane, your son is harassing me, he's saying this through the door, your son is harassing me, and, you know, I don't want to go to the authorities, but at this point, I don't have really any other choice. Maybe we could talk about this.
Oh, boy.
And Charlie's like, Mom, please, please believe me. Like, do not open the door. Do not let him in. Please, please, please. And so she finally just goes like, call the authorities then. Screams it through the door.
Good
so we're
mom.
Like, hell yeah, Tony. Good mom.
Good mom.
Jerry has his face of like, okay. And so he goes and grabs a shovel. They're watching him now, like through the sliding glass. He like walks around the house. They see him grabbing a shovel. And they're like, what the fuck is he doing? What is he doing? They're like watching him from the sliding glass doors. And he starts digging a hole in their backyard, like through their grass, like just digging a huge fucking hole. And she's like, that's my lawn. Like, what the fuck? What is he doing? Grabs down through the hole that he's built, pulls up a fucking pipe.
Oh, no.
It's the gas line.
Oh, no.
He breaks it and holds up a lighter and says, and lights it. And it sends fucking fire through it. It, like, blows up the stove. It blows up the heater downstairs.
Jesus
the house
Christ.
Is, like, on fire. And through the flames, he waits outside. Jerry stands up and goes, don't need an invitation if there's no house.
Oh, boy.
So at this point,
real
he's like, they know.
Extreme measures.
So I just got to kill him. Like, I can't pretend this thing anymore. Like, I'm just going to have to kill him.
Yep.
So they run to the car. Tony Collette's driving. It's Amy, Charlie, and Tony Collette. And Charlie's like, go, Mom, go. Just fucking floor it. Like, get out of here. So, like, she floors it out of the back of the garage, drives down the street. Jerry goes to get on the Charlie's motorcycle, but it's broken. He, like, goes to start it. It won't start. So we're like, okay, phew, a big phew. They're driving down the street. Amy's in the back seat, like, turning around, trying to see if he's coming. Like, is he coming? And then just then, chunk, he throws the fucking motorcycle through the back window and then is in his truck. I mean, again, he's super fast. He has managed to go home and get in his truck. He's driving behind them and he just crashes into them. Then he pulls around the side, crashes into them from the side. Now he's just fucking driving into them at every angle and they're all freaking out. And Tony's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what's happening, Charlie? What is happening? And he's like, Mom, just keep driving. They've made it now to like the open road, I guess, that gets them to Vegas, which is like a big empty highway. And it's nighttime, by the way. It's dark. Time for vampires.
Vampire time.
Then he pulls his truck out in front of them a ways down the road and gets out of the truck. And Tony's like, what do I do? And Charlie's like, just drive over him, Mom. Just fucking plow into him. Drive into him. She does. She drives into him and over him and just keeps going. And they're like, oh my God, where is he? Are we safe? And there's like this moment of calm. And they're like, okay. And then we hear some noises coming from underneath the car. And then we just see a nasty long fingernail poking up through the bottom of the car.
Oh,
he's fucking poking through with his nasty nails. And Charlie goes, oh, it's a fucked up vampire hand.
With his
hand, he manages to grab the brakes of the car.
Oh my God.
His hand, slams the brakes on. So then some other guy driving in the room behind them slams into them. And so they all get out and this guy's like, what the fuck? You stopped in the middle of the road. Like, what the fuck? And then we see their car get lifted up from underneath. It's Jerry staring at this stranger guy. And the guy's like, oh, God. And, like, goes and gets in his car. Jerry comes up, fucking attacks him and kills him.
That would be such a fucking bummer to just die as, like, a bystander to accident.
Oh, it would be such a bummer.
Like, you just have no idea what the fuck just happened, and then you just die.
That would be a bad situation to find yourself in.
I would not like that.
Sure, I would not like it. Me, personally, would not like it. So, while Jerry's, like, distracted killing this guy, Charlie gets... He has made a bunch of... We saw him earlier when he was putting up all the crosses, like... whittling a bunch of pieces of wood into stakes. He's whittled some crosses into stakes. He's got a bunch of shit
again,
with him.
You know, why not? Just get prepared.
So he's prepared. He gets in the car. He's got that. And he's like, Amy, take my mom and go. Like, get back in the car. Take her and go. He was like, he starts walking up to Jerry. And he's like, Jerry, I fucking got you. Like, get, like, leave us alone. Or I don't know. He's just like challenging him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry's like, oh, Oh, you've crossed. And Jerry does a really fun thing where anytime someone holds like a thing to him he doesn't like, he hisses at it. Like he just goes like, which I hope was purely a Colin Farrell choice to just, he just was like,
I hope so too.
Like a little angry cat. So he like hisses at the cross. And then we see Amy and Tony have like gone around the car. They're trying to hide. And Jerry puts his hand on the cross. It lights on fire. And then he just goes like, blows it out. He don't fucking care. Throws fucking Charlie over the side of the road, is coming back at him. Jerry manages to pin Charlie down and gets on top of him like he's gonna kill him, and is like, stake to the heart, it like seems pretty easy, but you know, do you know where the heart is? It's right here. You got to get it exactly right. Like, sorry, Charlie, it's just not going to happen for you. And then we see Toni Collette from behind him slams one of her real estate signs through his fucking chest. And then he like starts like whimpering away like a wounded animal. It's like, and is like crawling and weird and freaky and is like, and so Tony and Charlie and Amy get in the car. I think in Tony having done that, she like falls back and maybe hits her head on the pavement. Like she's gotten hurt somehow in this exchange. Okay. But they get in the car. I think Amy's driving and they drive back over Jerry, like fully run him over under the tires and keep going. And we see as they drive off a close up of his like nasty mangled hand on the road, but we see his little like fingers start moving and he like starts healing and yeah. His like arm
she missed the heart. She missed the heart.
In. She missed the heart. But we have a temporary reprieve. We drive
better than
down
better
the road,
than nothing.
Better than nothing. Back at, we cut to Peter Vincent's room again. And Peter is drinking a lot, but he looks over the photos that Charlie had left with the proof of Jerry. And one of the pictures is a picture of that weird tapestry on in the wall in Jerry's creepy office. Mm-hmm. So Peter Vincent looks at that and it clearly is familiar to him. So he opens, he has a safe where he has his own pictures and stuff. Pulls one out, he has a picture of that same tapestry. So he's like, fuck. We see then that Amy and Charlie are at a hospital with Toni Collette. She is unconscious in a hospital bed. I think she's like going to be okay, but she's unconscious in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Peter then calls Charlie on his cell phone and he's like, if you can get here in 1 hour, I'll give you some information about your vampire. And so like, oh, fuck, okay. So they leave Tony at the hospital and we see he's put up again 1,000 crosses like in every part of the room. And as he's leaving, a nurse like looks at him. He goes, mom's really religious. And they go to Peter Vincent's room and he tells them, he's like, okay, your vampire, he's a Mediterranean species. They eat slowly. They keep their victims alive for days. And they are a particularly strong breed. They are very hard to kill. They're very intense. As they're talking, as he's explaining this to him, he gets like a call on his little from downstairs. And they're like, got a delivery for you. And he's like, yeah, okay, fine, send him up. And they keep talking. And then Charlie's like, wait a minute. Do you usually get deliveries this late? And Peter's like, huh, no, uh-oh. No, I don't. And they're like, oh, fuck, you just invited him up.
Oh, no.
They all get up. They look towards the door and it is Ed.
Oh, boy.
And Ed is a vampire and he is so annoying in this scene.
I was going to say when Jerry told him that he was made for this, I feel like I disagree. There's nobody that feels less of a vampire to me than McLovin.
Yeah. Well, he's just like being a fucking douchebag. And he's like, oh, hey, Charlie, look at me now. I'm a fucking vampire. Ha, ha, ha. Bet you wish you were still friends with me. I'm going to fuck kill you. Blah, blah, blah. It's just like so fucking annoying. And his performance is over the top and I don't like it. But whatever. It's fine. Immediately, Peter Vincent runs into his panic room and leaves Charlie and Amy out there and like runs in his panic room and is like setting the button to shut the door. Ed is following him and goes to grab him and the panic room door shuts on his arm and slices it off. You know, I don't love it, but slices his arm off. So now he's got a, you know, half of an arm. And he's like, fuck, you cut my arm off. Fuck. We see from within his panic room, Peter just like huddles in the corner, but he has like security tapes or like footage cameras in there.
The rest of the arm in there with him.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's not going to do anything to him. It's not one of those. It's not like Evil Dead where the arm is going to like attack him of its own volition, but it's nasty.
Just gross.
Meanwhile, we see Charlie and Amy are trying to escape. They see that Ginger has been killed.
Oh, Ginger.
That was his girlfriend, Peter Vincent's girlfriend. Downstairs, we see Jerry enters the building and kills the security guard. So now Jerry's coming. Charlie and Amy hide behind a big cabinet while Ed is stalking them and is like, you know, I'm stronger than you. I'm faster than you. Like, nothing you guys can do. They push the cabinet over onto Ed just as a momentary reprieve. Charlie tells Amy to run. Charlie picks up a big sword from the again where he's in a room full of weapons, yeah, essentially.
Specifically, so vampire sword. Weapons.
And then he picks up a big like battle axe, like fucking axe on both sides, and like wields it. But Ed can fucking like jump up to the ceiling and is super fast, and he keeps Charlie keeps swinging it at him, but he's not getting them. Meanwhile, we see that Amy has run into a different room where she finds a gun and starts loading it. We see Jerry coming up behind her, and she does manage to shoot him a bunch of times. She unloads every bullet in the chamber, but he's not really affected. And he pulls one of the bullets out. He looks at her and he goes, werewolves. But just then there's like a goblet next to her. She grabs it, throws the liquid in his face. It is some sort of fucking vampire poison. It starts burning his face and he's screaming and she's like, vampires.
Nice.
Just then Ed finally gets the better of Charlie. They're fighting. Charlie does manage to sort of like slice his neck, but not good enough to make anything happen. He really doesn't break the bone.
Yeah.
So Charlie manages to get on top. Ed manages to get on top of Charlie, and is going to bite him, and he's really, really fucking close. But just then he gets slammed with one of those big spiky balls on a chain.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Amy has a very, very medieval.
Yes, Amy has one of those. She slams Ed with that, which pushes him back.
Oof, I just imagined being hit with one of those in it.
It would be so bad. It would be so bad. But Amy doing that gives Charlie the opening to stab Ed in the heart, which he hesitates to do for a second because that was his friend. But he does it and he kills him. So Ed is now dead. And when he stabs him through the heart, we know that it was successful because he like explodes into
immediate smoke results. And
stuff. It's pretty immediate results. Yeah.
Gotcha.
As opposed to when Jerry was stabbed, he just was like, you know, momentarily taken down, like whimpering and sad, but he recovered. We see Amy and Charlie escape. They get out of the suite. We see, too, that Peter Vincent has seen on the security footage that Ginger is dead. He's very upset.
Yep.
But Amy and Charlie get out of the room, and they are in now a very crowded club, a Vegas club, which is, like, seemingly their only way out. Not a great place for them to be. It's very chaotic. It's very loud.
That's true. You always think of like places with lots of people as being safer, but if you're like screaming for help.
Amy says that. She's like, he can't get us here. And Charlie's like, are you fucking kidding? Do you think anyone is going to take a second look if he gets us in here? Like, no. Like,
That's scary. And bystander effect is like the more people are there, the less anyone is likely to help you. Cause even if they do see something is wrong, because you like, just expect somebody else to help.
Not good. But we see that Jerry has followed them into the club. And in the chaos, wouldn't you know it, Amy and Charlie do get separated. And we see that Jerry gets Amy, picks her up, throws her over his shoulder, is walking her through the club. And people are like, yeah, man, you go. Oh, like, they don't, you know, because it's, you know, the world is bad.
Gross. Gross.
We see then Jerry and Amy, he's like holding her like just outside of the crowd, the side of the club. And he takes some blood that I don't know where it came from. He has blood. He wipes it on his own lips. And he's like, just one taste and you'll get it. And then he kisses Amy with the blood on his lips.
I don't think that's how it works, Jerry.
I don't know, but it does seem to like subdue her. Like it does have some sort of effect on her. And then he bites her neck.
Uh-oh.
Charlie sees this happening. He's screaming. He's yelling at a security guard. He's like, you have to help her. You have to help her. And the guy's like, I don't know, man. Looks like she's enjoying herself. Like, and then they're like, how old are you? And so they carry him out of the club.
This is a similar scene to one of my favorite films of all time, Vampire's Kiss, starring Nicolas Cage. One of the climactic scenes happens at a crowded club similar to this.
Oh.
Everybody go watch that if you haven't seen it, because it's... a truly one-of-a-kind film.
As most Nick Cage films tend to be.
My God, I know I've been very excited for his upcoming film called Pig, and I saw a review for it in which it said Nicolas Cage gives a very understated performance, and I'm like, what does that mean for Nicolas Cage? Just
for
like
him or for anyone?
I know. It's like, for Nicolas Cage, that could still mean over the top for an average actor. But
wow, yeah, I can't wait to know what that is.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It looks great.
Understated.
Wow. It's never been used to describe Nicolas Cage.
Ever, not even one single time. But so Charlie goes back up to Peter's suite and is like, we're going to fucking, he got Amy. He's going to get me if I don't get him first. Like, we got to fucking kill this vampire. Peter reveals to Charlie, he's like, no, you're not going to. Like, it's over. Like, you can't win against this guy. And he's like, I should fucking know. Vampire killed both my parents. So that is Peter's origin story. He's like, you just have to pretend, like, forget this ever happened. Wipe it from your mind. Move forward. And he's like, I can't fucking do it. He's like, yes, you can. I've done it. Like, I did it. My vampire killed my parents. Mm-hmm. Just convinced myself it didn't happen. But, you know.
Oh, he's the boy from the opening scene.
No, I think the boy from the opening scene is Adam.
Oh, okay.
Because that seemed like present day.
Okay.
I think Peter was quite young, maybe. And in the opening scene, I think that guy was killed.
Okay. Anyway. Yep.
But Charlie, so he just basically tells Charlie, like, hide. That's how I got away last time. Just fucking hide and wait this thing out. And Charlie
says,
that
is what I would do.
Yeah. Charlie says, I don't want to live until tomorrow if you're the kind of guy I'm going to grow up to be. Ouch.
Ouch.
So Peter's like, well, I'm not coming with you. Sorry, kid. You're on your own. But here, I'll give you this weapon. And it's like a specific kind of little stake. And he's like, supposedly legend says, if you kill the vampire with this weapon, it also restores his victims.
Whoa, that's to handy.
Pretty good weapon.
Handy.
Pretty good weapon. So he's like, hey, good luck, man. Maybe you can get your girlfriend back, but, you know, I'm not a part of this. So yeah. Goodbye. Then we see, so he gives him that piece. He says, you kill him with this weapon, it'll change his victims back. And he's like, my advice is try to set him on fire, because a vampire on fire isn't thinking. And Charlie's like, how am I supposed to get close enough to stab him in the heart if he's on fire? Cut to Charlie at a fucking, I don't know, probably crazy Vegas store that I'm sure exists that just has like weapons and all sorts of gnarly shit. We see him buying a fucking flame retardant suit, crossbow, all like just piling the stuff on. And he breaks into Jerry's house. He's all suited up. He's got his crossbow. He's smashing all the windows to let all the light in.
It's very fun in a horror film for the protagonist to just be like so overly prepared in every aspect, because that's just the opposite of what usually happens in horror. They're like, hello, like, who's in this room? I'm in my pajamas. It's like fun for it to be the other extreme of like, I'm not leaving anything to fucking chance. I'm going to try literally everything I have at my disposal.
I also love, it's a thing we've talked about, and it's like slightly different than some other movies, but the feeling of just being like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm all in. Like, I'm either dying or I'm killing you. Let's fucking go. Yeah. Like, him just being like, I'm not getting out of this. He took my girlfriend. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill my mom. Like, I better try to kill him. Yeah. Whatever. I'm in.
Yeah.
No fear. So he is, smashing through all the windows, looking around, trying to find Jerry, and runs into, slams into somebody, and it's Peter. Fucking came back. Peter opens his coat, and it's like loaded with fucking shotgun cage. Like, what do you call those cases?
Shells.
He's fucking bullets. Shells. Thank you. One of those. You get it.
Gun
He's
stuff.
Weapon stuff. He's ready. And he says, "I guess I didn't want to be. I guess I didn't want to be the kind of man."
That you didn't want to be.
I am either. Something like that. I don't know. But he's like,
I don't want to be the kind of man that you don't want to be. If you don't want to be me, I don't want to be like that.
If you don't want to be me, I don't want to be me. Neither of us want to be me, is what he says. So they go into that room of hallways.
Mm-hmm.
No. Hallway of room.
I was like, yes.
Exactly, yes, the room, right? Of hallways. The hallway of rooms, and see Amy in one of the rooms. And as Charlie's calling to her, she all of a sudden like screams and like disappears through the floor. So they manage to open the door, and they see they're under like floor traps in all of these rooms. So they go down into the underground crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
He's also got like a flashlight on his head. Charlie does.
He's got everything.
He's prepared. They're walking through, weapons out, and Peter says to Charlie, and we can hear Amy in the distance calling, be like, Charlie, Charlie. And Peter's like, you know this is a trap, right? And Charlie says, I'm counting on it. He wants to find Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Just then, Jerry jumps down, pulls on something, which like closes a big door, which separates Charlie and Peter. So now Peter is in one half of this area with Jerry. And Charlie is in the other half with Amy. But they're separated.
Okay.
We see Peter and Jerry start fighting. Jerry is fucking tossing him around and is like, oh, it's good to see you again. So we learn that he's the vampire that killed Peter's parents. Pushes him into this the biggest part of this like underground. It's just like dirt. It's like the crawl space under the house.
Yeah.
It's all sealed off for darkness.
Yeah.
And he picks up a rock and he just throws it at Peter's head, and it lands and like makes him bleed, and he's like, ah, like, seriously? A rock? And we see a drop of blood fall, hit the earth, and then hands start popping up from under
the God.
Dirt. It's all of the victims that Jerry has had here. They are vampires, and they are all driven by the smell of human and blood.
Oh boy, this is not looking good.
It's not looking good. Meanwhile, we see Amy with Charlie. Amy hugs him and is like, you should have saved me. And we see her going to bite him, to turn him. And he stakes her through the chest. She backs up. She's bleeding. He goes out to leave that area and go after Peter. And she looks at him and she licks the blood off her own hands from her chest, and she goes, missed. And he says, I know. So he's trying to not actually kill her, but just sort of keep her away for a second.
Yep.
And the other zone, Peter just starts unloading cages, bullets, cases, shots at all the vampires. He's just shooting them. They're, getting at him. Some are biting him. Some, but he's just fucking going balls to the wall. Ready.
But it's
to,
not. It's not killing any of them.
It's not killing any of them. But anytime they are like shot at, hurt,
they fall back.
Yeah, they fall back for a minute. But no, it's not. It's not killing them.
What we really need is some sort of weapon that could turn them all into normal humans.
That would be perfect.
That would be a really, sort of weapon. Really
would,
great solve.
That would turn them all back into humans. But Charlie makes it in there and he starts helping him. And what Charlie starts doing, which is fucking smart, is shooting at the ceiling to let light come in. So what he does is he creates a like space of sunlight for him and Peter to be able to get into where none of the vampires can come up. So they have a moment of reprieve, Peter and Charlie. Jerry, all the vampires are like trying to get at them, but they can't. And Jerry's walking around talking to them, and he walks past a beam of light and goes, and like keeps, it's just very fun. He's like, you smell that? It's your fear. It's intoxicating.
No, I don't smell it, Jerry.
No, I don't smell it.
I'm not a vampire.
And he says, Amy's scent. Now that was exquisite.
Gross.
We see Peter now. The sunlight is starting to make him like smoke a bit because he has been attacked by these vampires. He's not turning it. We've seen when like his, you know, Jerry eats his people slowly. Like they don't turn mentally right away, but they are starting to turn. And so he's like starting to turn. You can't stay in the sunlight forever. You know, nighttime's going to come. He's turning. Amy comes in and starts making out with Jerry in front of Charlie.
Oh, man.
They start making out, and then Jerry uses a nail to cut his own chest, and Amy like drinks the blood off his chest.
Wait, so it's, he like, also very bleeds. Sexual.
Yeah, they can bleed.
Okay.
Yeah, they can bleed, and they like their own blood. I don't know, whatever. But it's very sexual and very intense, and they're making out. Peter is laying back on this pile of dirt. Is like, well, we tried. It's fucking over. Pulls out a cigarette, goes to light it. He holds his lighter up. And Charlie looks at him and he's like, let's do your plan. He's like, my plan? Oh, fuck. Looks at his suit and he's like, oh, Jesus. Okay. All right. You should have fucking told me that's what we were doing, but okay. Lights Charlie on fire. Charlie tackles Jerry, lighting Jerry on fire. Pulls off from his belt one of those fucking like rock climbing clips. Clips himself to Jerry.
Wow, bold, bold, bold.
So he's on fire. Jerry's on fire, but now Jerry can't escape him. But he's wearing his suit. Meanwhile, Jerry's now also like flying around, like jumping up the ceiling, doing anything to get away from the fire. He can't think straight. But Charlie's attached to him, so he's getting fucking all thrown around. He also is on fire. He's got like goggles and a whole thing, but like, how long can that work?
You're right.
But he's trying to get the stake to stab him. It gets away from him, falls out of his hand. So Peter's like, all right, fucking let's go. He gets a second lease in life. He's shooting the ceiling, letting more light in, keeping the vampires away. Grabs the stake, tosses it to Charlie. Charlie grabs it, stabs Jerry through the heart. And as he's dying, he turns into like, we've seen a few times when Jerry goes to attack somebody, he turns into like not himself. He gets like CGI, like full, vampire-y, full nasty. Bunch of teeth, fucking, monster-y. So he does that again, like as he's dying, he like gets full, we see his like true form, like full vampire. He's like screaming, and then he basically explodes.
While Charlie's attached to him.
Yeah, but Charlie doesn't explode. He just, it's like kind of, every time they explode, it's like kind of guts, but then also kind of smoke.
Okay.
It's just sort of like they like burst, but then just like vanish.
Okay, so he's not covered in guts or anything gross like
he's
that.
He's not covered in guts.
Thank God.
Thank God. That would have been the worst. Oh. And then all around them, we see vampires, all these people. One of them, by the way, is Dave Franco. They're like getting up and they're like,
coming back to their
fuck just happened
senses.
To me. Yeah, come back to their senses. Dave Franco goes like, that was a fucked up night. Peter and Amy then get on top of Charlie, and like, because Charlie's passed out, he's like unconscious, and they're like, Charlie, come on, Charlie. He opens his eyes. Peter kisses him. He's so happy. And then Amy is there and hugs him, and he's like, "Are you okay?" And she's like, "Yeah, are you okay?" And he's like, "Yeah." cut to Charlie and Amy are making out. They're getting naked. They're gonna have sex. Everything's great with them. Then we see they are in Peter Vincent's like suite. Peter like comes in. It's like, sorry. Keep doing your dream. Sorry, I just had to get something. And then I'm gonna leave. Like, don't worry, you guys got it. Like, they're all friends now. And he leaves, and then they like are clearly about to fuck, and then credits.
Wow, sex is the reward.
Sex is the reward for killing a neighbor. Sex is the reward.
All that LARPing really paid off, I feel like. All that pretending to fight each other.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
Costumes, being prepared.
Yeah. Wow, that is a fun movie.
It's fun. It really is fun. Everyone in it is good, except for you know who that I didn't like. But other than that, everybody else in it is really good.
Even Lisa Loeb.
Even Lisa Loeb for just fucking 20 seconds.
That's very funny.
It's just like, wait, what? All right.
I feel like, has she ever been in anything else? I've literally never seen her acting.
She's been in like a couple of things, I think. But yeah, it was very, was just very jarring for me, a viewer, to be like, we're not gonna deal with that. Okay. That's normal to us. Sure. But there it is.
There it is.
That's Fright Night, baby.
I love it.
It's a fun movie.
Well, thank you for watching it. I literally worked from every waking moment this week. So.
I can't believe it. I'm so excited for you to be able to watch TV again.
Oh my God, it's going to be great.
What is your favorite I Think You Should Leave?
Oh, it's absolutely
the prank. Prank guy.
Carl Havoc. I laughed so hard that I was like afraid for my life. Are my lungs
funny.
Going to collapse? Can you die from laughing?
It's too much shit on me.
God, it's so funny.
Too much shit on me.
I did really like Cough and Flop as well.
Cough and Flop is very good.
I think it started off with like all my favorites, and then
the first episode
is the best, and I feel like none of them ever. I would say the sixth episode, none of it made me laugh, which was a bummer.
What's in the sixth episode?
I don't even remember. I'll watch it again, and they'll grow on
me. I'll watch it again. That's the thing about I Think You Should Leave. Even the first season is like, it's so much funnier. It's not funnier, but it gets funnier the more you think about it. The more you think about it, the more you quote it, the more it's like, it continues to live in my brain. Yeah. Even the ones on my first watch, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't all hits, but eventually I'm like, every single second of that show is
perfect. It's true, because my favorites now are ones that I feel like I didn't really think twice about upon a first viewing. Like, I really love the one where they're singing and the bones are their money.
Oh my God, I fucking love that one.
And I feel like the first time I was like, oh, this one's not that great, but it's
yeah,
it's
I'm gonna
fantastic.
Rewatch it all again. But that first episode, yeah, Carl Havoc is so fucking good. I also in thinking back, the moment like not what I fucking love the moment where he's like, you thought it'd be funny. I thought it'd be interesting. Like,
what does that do for the greater good?
I thought it'd be interesting.
God, it's so funny. That's like, I would want more than anything to be that for Halloween, but I feel like I have to.
That'd be impossible.
I have to learn from his lessons that it's too much shit.
Too much shit. It's too much shit. The arms are my favorite fucking part of that costume. Oh my God, it's so funny. It's so funny. Oh man. Also, fucking Patty Harrison is so funny.
She's
in it,
so
like
great.
She always is.
She's amazing. I love her.
If you bring me a bad deal, I'd be. I made all my money off Big Charlie Brown. Oh God, it's funny. Everybody should watch
it.
Sammy's gonna watch so much more TV this week. It's great news.
I have all week off to just watch TV nonstop. It's gonna be great.
Everybody catch up on Golden.
Yeah, it's on Peacock. There's the first four episodes are out. Actually, when this comes out, the fifth episode will also come out because it comes out on Wednesdays. There'll be 6 episodes total, and they'll all be out before the Olympics, so you can know some of the athletes that will be at the Olympics. You'll know their whole story, and it'll make it more exciting to watch the Olympics.
That's so great. And the final episode, Sammy was the lead editor. 2nd episode as well. We talked about that, but the final episode. So fucking, that's why she's been working her butt off making that happen.
It was really crazy because they shot the Olympic trials and we basically had 2 weeks to finish the episode and
like figure out what the conclusion of the story was going
right,
to be. Like,
right.
It's not just editing the footage. Like you didn't even know what it was going right, to be.
Exactly. So it was very crazy. And we at one point had 9 editors working on this one
24/7.
This one episode.
Like you had night editors
that would start when we finished. Yeah, it was nuts. It was nutso. So it was definitely not all me. It was an all hands on deck situation, but it was crazy. But I think it turned out really well. I'm shocked because with the amount of time we had and the amount of cooks in the kitchen, I feel like things could have gotten really bad. And I think it ended up very good. So I hope I hope you guys watch it and I hope you like it.
Yay. I also wanted to say I realized that when this episode comes out on July 14th, 2021, exactly 2 years to the day from the first time we recorded.
Wow. That's crazy.
July 14th, 2019. I almost said 1919. Can you wait? 2019, we sat in my living room and we recorded Midsommar. And it just all began 2 years ago. What a crazy different place we're all in.
Yeah,
now.
It's been a wild 2 years, that's for sure.
That's for sure. But wow, so grateful.
Yeah, what a wonderful thing we've done.
What a wonderful thing we've done.
Wonderful constant in an otherwise uncertain world.
Yes. That is very, very true.
And I guess that's it for this week. Yeah. I like forgot how we did this. We take 1 week off and I don't remember anything. We do an accent.
We could do, yeah. Everyone did American.
We better do American
accents in this movie, but
we'll do our best American. We'll do our best American accents.
We're going to do our best American accent for you guys. Okay. Our best Las Vegas, Nevada American accent.
From all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch.
God, that was good.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you like the show, remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you'd like, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate that. You can also follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast. We are on Instagram and Twitter. Or you can become a patron at patreon.com/TSDW Podcast, where you'll get access to bonus episodes, trailer reactions, other fun stuff. But if not, no hard feelings. We'll see you here next week. Love you. Bye.